We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome to Proof to Product. I am your host, Katie Hunt. Today on the show, I have the founder, printer, and designer of Quick Brown Fox Letterpress, Kate Murray. Kate specializes in letterpress printing and handcrafted paper goods. She started her business 5 years ago after salvaging a printing press on the way to the scrapyard. Within 6 months of restoring her press, Kate was exhibiting at the National Stationery Show and selling her products to the wholesale market. On today's episode, Kate is sharing her love of printing, the process of restoring her printing press, how she got her first paper source order, and why she's focused on nurturing relationships with her customers and peers in the industry right now. Kate is a PaperCamp alumni and a member of our Proof to Product Labs community. Her work is gorgeous, and I loved hearing the backstory of how she started and has grown Quick Brown Fox, and I know you will enjoy it too. Real quick before we get started, I know many of you have been anxiously awaiting the release of our PaperCamp e-course dates. And I wanted to let you know that we will be opening enrollment for that very soon. And we will be running that program again this September. It's 4 weeks online and it's everything you need to know about selling your products to the wholesale market. So if you want more information or to join that wait list so you don't miss it when it comes, head over to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. But let's dive into the show. Hey, Kate, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Just here in Brooklyn, getting by every day.
Yeah, taking care of yourself, staying healthy.
For sure, for sure.
Good, I'm glad. Well, first off, congrats on hitting 5 years in business recently. That's a huge accomplishment, and I'm so excited for you. Congrats on that.
Thanks. I just like woke up one morning and looked at my feed, and I was like, oh, it's been 5 years.
Isn't it funny how it sneaks up on us, one, and then two, we sometimes forget these key milestones.
It's the same as my wedding anniversary. We hit 10 years last year and we were just like on the couch watching a movie and we were like, oh, it's been, oh, happy 10 years.
Happy anniversary. That's funny. Well, let's start at the beginning. How did you get started with Quick Brown Fox?
Well, I actually have only ever done printmaking, letterpress. Okay. Well, I studied printmaking in college and then I went to a master printer training program. And then once I got out, I just started working in two actually really big shops here in New York City. And they were really great platforms for me to start with because one was much more volume based with like really big clients like Hermes, Sotheby's, Barney's. The next shop was more what I modeled my business after. It's a small one woman business. And it was my first taste of wholesale because she has her own wholesale line as well as wedding. So it was great to learn from like two women in small businesses, how in very different ways, how to start a business and how to run a successful business.
I love that. It was like an immersion in an MBA, basically, of how to run a stationery business and letterpress specifically. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, tell us about the process of finding your first press on Craigslist. Had you already kind of branched out to do your own thing at that point, or were you still working for those other companies?
I was still working for my last employer. And occasionally, like if a friend got married, I would offer to work on their wedding invitations. And that was kind of my creative outlet. I would definitely help with some of my employer's printing and design process. And it was great, but I had all these ideas that I wanted on my own of greeting cards. And I helped her for a few years at the National Stationery Show. And I was just blown away. And I wanted my own booth so bad, but I knew I had to like get to a certain point. And there are a few letterpress communities online, Briar Press being the really big one. And I knew exactly the press I wanted. I would just keep an eye out for it. But it's a really rare press. They were made in Massachusetts only for a certain amount of time. And you just can't find them. People either keep them forever or they were melted down for war effort, or there's like a million reasons they don't exist anymore. And I don't even know why I was on Craigslist, but I was on Craigslist and the press I wanted popped up. They were going to scrap it. It was really broken. It had fallen at some point. I had promised myself I'd never buy a press that had a weld mark on it because they never run the same again. But this, of course, had a weld mark. It was missing rollers, didn't have a brake. It had ink put on it back in the 70s that they never washed off.
Oh, wow.
So it was a total disaster and I fell in love with it.
And you couldn't help yourself, huh?
No, and I was so sad it was going to be scrapped. So they gave me a crazy deal on it. And then the scrap metal movers that were going to take it moved it for me to my first studio space for like $100.
Oh, wow.
And they were amazing. So I had a really good friend who gave me studio space really close to my apartment. Her name is Jonna Twig of Twig's Bindery. And she gave me like my first space. And like, I couldn't have gotten started without her giving me that space.
That's amazing. It sounds like everything just kind of fell into place in a very serendipitous way.
Definitely. So I had some friends who'd done a Kickstarter for starting their own business. So I did a Kickstarter. I knew how much money I had to raise to fix it up, pay rent, and get started. So I did all of that. I priced out every part that I needed, how long it was going to take. And then I got the ball rolling and the Kickstarter was fully funded way beyond what I wanted. So that's amazing. I even had bonus money to buy additional items for my shop that I wanted.
That's fantastic. And it also goes to show how many people support your vision and your mission for this. That's fantastic. So what was that restoration process like, taking this broken press that was going to be scrapped, that had missing pieces? Like, what was that all like?
It was a learning process. I had done some maintenance for my previous employer with just keeping the presses running. Mechanically, it's easy to see all the pieces. You can see how they're connected. So this press, it was just really like stripping it down, taking parts off, cleaning it really well because they had used it for a while in die cutting glitter cards.
Oh, wow.
So not only was there like years of oily dust covered in glitter, like all over the press. So
yeah,
it really was like taking it one piece at a time. If I had to try to do everything at once, I probably would have given up at some point. And it was going on forums, like asking questions, what's the best way to get this ink off? And randomly, oven cleaner is great at it.
Who knew?
So I just reached out to every person in the community I could think of. You know, I'm in Brooklyn. I wanted to get a base for the press because I use photopolymer plates. So I went to a metal shop in Red Hook and I just walked in and I was like, hi, do you have a scrap piece of steel? Like, this size? And they're like, yeah, $50. And it would have cost me like couple $100. So I found like a random father and son mechanic shop in not far from where my studio is now in Gowanus. And they completely rewired this motor that I got for free. They rewired it for like $50.
Wow. I love how like scrappy and resourceful you were through this whole process. I mean, obviously you were working towards something that you were really excited about and creating your own business and all of that. But like how long did that restoration process take?
I think it took me until the press was really running at least 3 months.
Okay. That seems fast.
I was working 4 days a week. So it was like every night and then all weekend long, I would just be in the studio chipping away at the press, cleaning it. Some of it, it's just like parts I ordered took forever to come in because it's not a press that like a Chandler and Price that everybody has. It's harder to find parts for it. So it was a lot of patience, a lot of online searching.
Yeah, a lot of sleuthing, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you jumped into wholesale pretty quickly, and you specifically did your first trade show within 6 months of, was that finding your press or getting it operational?
Getting it operational.
Okay, that's really fast.
It like, is.
That, I mean, I jumped in my first show about the same time frame, but I wasn't printing my own cards. I was doing digital printing. So it is a different thing for you to create your work and then print your work and, you know, prepare yourself for wholesale. Was that an easy decision for you? Or do you feel like the timing was right for you? If you could go back in time, would you maybe do it differently or what?
I think for me, the timing was right. Again, I spend a lot of time searching for things online, especially with the press. I was doing a lot of stuff on Ladies of Letterpress.
Yeah.
And they just happened to have one extra slot that year.
Oh, that's a good way to start. That's great.
Yeah. It was the last year they did a booth together. They used to do one every year and I loved it. And I was so excited to be a part of that booth. It made everything so much easier because I kind of just showed up, put my stuff on the wall. I now have, I'd say, 150 SKUs.
That's
but
awesome.
At the time, I think I had like 30 cards in a calendar. So yeah. I just spent a ton of time when I wasn't working on the press. I was designing new cards. There was a lot of cards that I had already done designs for when I was just dreaming about having a business. So kind of everything was already prepped for me to do it. And just having that one last space with Ladies of Letterpress is really what pushed me into doing the National Stationery Show.
I love it. Okay. So you still sell wholesale. Do you also have a retail site, online site? And do you have any other revenue streams too within the business?
Yeah. So I have my retail aspect of my website, wholesale. I just finished setting up my fair site, finally jumped on that. I also do still have an Etsy page that's pretty active. And I mean, in normal times, I do markets a few times a year. I was doing the Brooklyn Flea occasionally, or the Phoenicia Flea is one I really love. So those were all revenue streams, as well as my wedding line.
Yeah. And that's all custom work, right?
That's like all
every
custom.
Every piece there is custom. Okay. So you've got custom, you've got wholesale, you've got retail in various forms, and now to wholesale in various forms with fair versus your own site. Okay, cool. Has it always been your plan to have those different revenue streams, or did you, like, where did you start and where compared to where you are now?
I'd say where I am now is where I wanted to be. My previous employer both of them were pretty similar in that they had a custom line. And then my last employer, she had a wholesale and a custom line. And I really loved her work ethic and like the way she was able to be creative across multiple platforms. Cause the wedding line is very different and really bespoke for every single client. And that's definitely fulfills one creative side of me, but then I have like a weird punny sense of humor. So I always wanted these wholesale cards.
Yeah.
To just reach a different audience.
I love that. Is it difficult for you to manage these different areas of your business? Because as you said, the creative side of it is different. Even the customer service and working with the customers is different. I don't know. Is that challenging for you?
Sometimes. I actually, until the coronavirus happened, I actually was planning to hire somebody to help me with just the day-to-day, you know, passing off the things I don't want to do. So having someone do my emailing and invoicing and keeping up with QuickBooks. Now I'm doing all that myself, which I have it in order. I know how to do everything. I have programs. I'm all set. It's just stuff normally I don't have time to do because the thing I want to do is print and draw. So it's very, if I were as busy as I was before everything shut down, I'd be having a hard time, but things have slowed down a bit. So I've been able to take a breath, but I'm still hoping to hire somebody new to help out eventually.
I think that's smart because then you are focusing on your area of genius, which is the designing, the creative, the printing, and the things that are really driving revenue to the business. So that, I think that's a good idea. And to your point, like this has been a nice time to kind of get ourselves back to basics and just check in on maybe the pieces we had ignored for a little bit or just let, you know, loosen the reins on. So I've definitely been doing that too. We're just kind of tidying up the back end of the business a bit. Okay, let's go back to shows real quick. Now you've done a handful of trade shows, right?
Right.
How many have you done?
So ever since that first, I've done National Stationery Show every year since then. So I'm totally lose. They blend in my mind,
though. I know, right? And I keep saying year, but so, you know, when they start to happen twice a year, you're like, oh wait, I mean last time.
So normally I just do the stationery show because it, you know, stationery was only once a year. It's only recently, but I was doing National Stationery Show once a year. And then I did Noted for the first time last year.
Oh yeah.
I had plans to do the stationery show twice this year for the first time, but I've decided to hold off until winter. But trade shows are a big part of my wholesale business. So I'm really sad to be sitting it out this fall.
Yeah, it's been interesting. And I'd like to talk about this if you're open to it, but it's been interesting to see, you know, COVID's changing the way that we're connecting with our customers, and that's absolutely impacted shows because obviously large gatherings with lots of people and traveling to things like that is just not possible right now. So given that, well, because of that, the shows have now been postponed, but there's a lot of people still that are saying, you know, I don't know that this is going to go forward, or I don't even know that I would want to commit to something at a later time frame. I kind of want to see how this all goes. So that brings me back to like, well, if we're not doing these shows and we're, or whether we're not able to, or whether we choose not to do them, what types of marketing are you currently using now to reach your customers since some of these things are not happening anymore?
Well, I definitely use social media. I also, with the trade shows, I feel like have made a really good relationship with a bunch of my buyers. So I have, of course, some orders on hold here that I'm just like, whenever you want them, I have them. I'm offering net terms. I'm offering whatever I can to like make their life a little easier once things open up again. But I also just reached out to all of my really good retailers that I have a personal relationship with and said, you know, I'm here for you. I hope you're okay. You don't have, I wasn't like, do you want to place an order? I just was like, how are you? How's your family? I hope you're well. So I think it's really important to, I consider some of them friends. So I really worry about a lot of them. So right now, marketing wise, I've slowed down a lot, but I do think still trying to maintain these relationships while things are closed down is important.
I agree with you. And that's really what I meant. Like, how are you connecting with people? I mean, we're to your point, it's not so much marketing. I mean, we do want to let people know, hey, I'm open for business and I am shipping orders. And if that's something you need, I want to help you get whatever you need. But it's more of like that human connection right now, to your point, and saying like, hey, how are you? Just human to human. How are you doing? Are you healthy? Is there anything I can do to help you? Or just even listening. Just a lot of people want to talk about what they're going through.
Definitely. There's a few of my stores that are, I can tell, are a little afraid that they aren't going to reopen. And some of it's even, I mean, beyond sending an email, you know, I just try to share their social, their posts when I can. Yep. I try to, I mean, buy something if I can at the moment, you know, just little things that you can do to let them know you're here and just show support, because they're having as hard a time as we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I've even offered up my time to help with different things that I can help remotely, or at, you know, sharing things, as you said. I do think, you know, we truly are all in this together. And if we can help support each other through it, then all of us will be stronger in the end.
So definitely.
That's awesome. I know you have done a really great job of building a community of stationery designers in your local New York neighborhood. Do you want to talk about that and how you kind of created that bond with them?
Yeah, they're generally all my neighbors from previous stationery shows.
Oh, how funny. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they're always people from around me. Some of them are here, some aren't. I have some really good friends in the UK that we chat all the time. Here in New York, there's a good group of us that when things were better, we'd go out and meet at a bar like once a month, check in, especially before a stationery show. And most of us are Paper Camp alums. So we would just talk about, are you ready? Like, how's everything going? And I had done it for a few years. So I'm like, if I can help, like, let me know. So, you know, I do something I don't love, but I do the foam board walls that I get from Uline. So I just order a huge box. And then in my group, I was just like, who needs walls? Like, just pay me a little bit of money. And then we all have walls and they get delivered to Javits.
That's awesome.
And then we've been doing Zoom chats, Zoom happy hours. I just know that when I was getting started, I didn't have a lot of support from a lot of other shops in the city. And I didn't know any other stationery people beyond people I had worked for. And I just felt like it's just nice to have somebody else to talk to about the business, and not just the business, but just somebody to bounce ideas off of. So I love my little gang. I think they're fun. I miss like seeing them in person. I look forward to seeing them again, hopefully this summer.
Yeah, I hope so too. I love that you guys have done that, because I think our industry is so warm and so inviting. And for the most part, you can ask questions pretty openly and people aren't going to shoot you down or say, oh, hey, that's proprietary. You know, I mean, there's certain things you, of course, want to be careful about. But to see like these additional like subgroups popping up, it just makes me happy, because I think we do need that. All of us need that. We need to connect with one another. We need to be surrounded by people that are where we want to be or are where we once were, so that we can all support each other. So I love that you've done that. You know, thinking back on your business over the last 5 years, what has been the most challenging part of running and building this business?
I'd say just growth. I feel like I grew really fast. The first year I think I was in business, I still worked for somebody else. And then I remember the paper source order that like changed my life. And it made it so that I could quit my job and I could fund the business for quite a while.
That's great.
And it was, you know, unbelievable. But at the time I was working in a studio with no air conditioning and no windows in July, like trying to get this paper source order out. And it'd be like working for somebody and printing all day and then working for myself all night. And it grew very fast. And then I was able to eventually quit my job once that check came in. But over time, it's just been the hardest part has been how to not grow too fast or make promises that I can't fill. Like I do have a wholesale on my wholesale side. I always ship within 2 to 3 days.
That's fast.
And I try to like always stick to it because I know how important it is to get things right away. And I don't want you to have to pay for something and it takes 2 or 3 weeks. So for me, it's really important for you to remember that I can get things to you great on time quickly because it's quick brown box. And so growth and like managing those expectations has definitely been the biggest challenge.
When you talk about managing expectations, are you referring just to your client expectations or customer expectations? Or are you also talking about your own expectations for what you want?
Both. My client expectations, because I feel like I pretty much promise that I can do anything and then I figure it out. But for myself, I have a lot of expectations of where I'd like the business to go and where I have like a 5-year plan and where I want to be. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to get there. And that's always difficult. But I think that's that way with any small business.
Totally. And high performing people like you. I mean, we all put the highest expectations on ourselves, I think, more than anyone else does. Let's talk about the paper source order real quick. How did that all come to be? Was that through the show? Were you pitching them actively? Did they find you? Like, how did they find you? And how did that all come together?
I have a friend, Francesca, one of my favorites from Loud House Creative. And she was, I remember that's how I met her is the first year we did Ladies of Letterpress together. And I remember the first year she was like, did you reach out to Paper Source? And I was like, no. She was like, I can't believe it. So she made sure the next year I reached out to Paper Source and I sent them a mailer. I did, you know, everything I was supposed to do. And Sadie actually stopped by the booth and I have this like super crazy calendar that I make every year. And she was like, nobody's doing this. This is crazy. And I think we need it. She was like, send us a sample. And so I did everything and it just worked out. It just was one of those things where I did what I was supposed to. I sent a mailer. She stopped by. I had a discussion with her and there was just this like massive order that I kind of couldn't believe.
That's amazing. I will say, like, yes, there's steps to like getting in front of these buyers, but ultimately too, it's because your product was unique and it was a combination. So yes, you did the right steps, took the right steps in, but it was also because your product was amazing that they needed and wanted it. So I do want you to take credit for that part of it as well.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm super proud. The calendar I do every year and it changes slightly. This year I added foil, so it's a little even crazier than before, but I love it. I have some cards that are like 11 colors and I don't want to change it. So I think that's kind of what I got known for at some point where they were like, is this 6 colors?
Which for those that aren't familiar with letterpress, like that's an insane amount of colors for one card. Most people do 1, 2, maybe 3 colors.
The 11 color one came from my previous boss would do like 1 or 2 color, maybe 3 color wholesale designs. And I was just like, I'm going to do like when I was first designing my cards, I'm going to do whatever I want. And then I came up with 11 colors. I was like, yes, this is great. And now when I have to print it, I'm like, oh.
Because for those listening, it goes through the press 11 times. Once with each color. So it's with different plates and it's a lot of work. So, okay. What are you most proud of in your business?
I have to say my press, like that I actually got that thing running. Like I really just can't say what bad shape it was in when I got it. And that I got extremely dirty for 3 months, took it apart, saved it, brought it back together. That's the thing I think I'm most proud of is that I was able to like save a really like an amazing piece of machinery and bring it back to life and then just start this business based on that one press.
It has to be satisfying too to know that like your literal blood, sweat, and tears probably yes. went into, you know, creating, restoring this machine, which now has like launched this entire new career path for you, or and not a new career, but a new business for you.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's cool. All right. Well, what is next for Quick Brown Fox? What do you have coming up?
So, well, since I'm quarantined at home in New York, I've decided to do some product testing. So I have been wanting to, I have a crazy idea for candles.
Cool.
That I think I'd like to get started on. I'd like to, as much as I love my cards and I'm always designing cards, I just have a huge a folder in my computer that's full of designs that I want to print.
Yeah.
And it's great. I feel like I always have a backlog. I can go back and like print a new card when I need to add to my line. But I think I'd like to add a few more like products outside of stationery to my line.
I think that's smart. How do you feel about a lot of people that do their own printing and like their passion in this business stem from their love of printing? They sometimes have a hard time with the mindset shift of like expanding into products where they're not necessarily creating them. Mm-hmm. Do you have any struggles with that?
I do, because I make everything in-house. Everything you order on my website has passed through my hands. The tote bags, the cards. If I make candles, that's definitely going to be something I make. All for however you make your product, however you're able to make your vision come true, like go for it. For me, I love making things by hand, and I love when I sell something or if I see it in a store, I know that I made it and I know what the quality is like. So for me, it's really hard to push that off on somebody else, even to the point where I have like, you know, bands I'm designing for my wholesale packages and a box, like everything I think I'm thinking about for rebranding right now is going to come through the studio. So it's a little crazy, but for me, I just prefer to hand make. Like you know where it came from. I know where it came from.
Totally. Well, and that's the vibe. That's like the mission, the brand. That's like the messaging you put forward. Okay, that's cool. I wasn't sure if you were going to go through that process of learning how to make candles or teaching yourself, because that's a whole other skill set too. So
It is. I have some good friends that make candles. So I'm just like, I'm not stealing your product.
Teach me everything you know, though.
Can you tell me all this stuff? So I think the community of that I've created or that I know of with product-based stuff, everybody's so nice. And like everybody makes something so different that usually everybody's so helpful with anything you have questions about, which I think is amazing.
I agree. I'm always asked, but I was often, especially in the early days of Proof to Product, asked, why would you create this? Because I had a product-based business at the time, people would say, why would you create this community where your competitors are all there and you're teaching them things that you've learned along the way? And I said, because it doesn't matter. Like my business is very different than somebody else's business. Mm-hmm. And if we were to tell a whole room full of designers to create something with polka dots, for example, like you get a whole room full of different types of designs. Like all of us are heading towards different goals and we're building our businesses in different ways. So no, I 100% agree with you in that we're so much better when we pull it all together and share what we know, because you can take the exact same steps and end up in different places. So
exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out these new candles when they're ready and see all the other amazing products you have available?
Well, I have a dream that for my like August launch, I'll have candles, but we'll see. You can find me at quickbrownfoxletterpress.com. You can find me on Instagram at quickbrownfoxlp. Facebook, Quick Brown Fox Letterpress. And if you're a wholesaler, I'm also on Fair.
Awesome. We will include all those links in our show notes too, so people can quickly find you. Kate, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your time with me today and also telling your story. This was fascinating.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was so fun to hear from Kate Murray, her startup story, and how she continued to grow and evolve her business. I particularly loved hearing about how she saved that printing press from the scrapyard. That was pretty fun. Anyhow, I always love bringing our Proof to Product students onto the show because there's so much that we can learn from each other's journeys. And Kate is a member of our Proof to Product Labs community, and she's an alumni of our Paper Camp program, where we teach product-based business owners how to start and scale their wholesale program. So if you are thinking about wholesale, if you want to see your products lining the shelves of your favorite retail shops, I encourage you to join us for Paper Camp. And you can join that waitlist at ProofToProduct.com. paperclub.com/papercamp. We will be opening the doors to our online Papercamp program soon, and that is where we will spend 4 weeks tackling product development, sales tools for wholesale, marketing strategies for wholesale, and we will talk about the changing landscape of trade shows. This isn't a class that you just sign up for and do on your own. I will have live office hours with you each week. We will have a group forum, and you will gain access to videos, worksheets, and a community of product makers that are focused on selling wholesale. Get all the details and join the waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp.